Right now, because it is Mother's Day, and we want to thank you moms for all that you've done for us throughout our whole entire life, even before we were born. And we hope you feel honored today. There was a guy trying to find a gift for his mom. She was turning 90, big birthday. And so he decided, you know, I want to go through the mall. And by the way, people still do that, by the way, still go to malls. I found out yesterday. And he's going to the mall, and he sees a pet store. And he's in the pet store, and he sees these birds, these, like, really, really nice birds. And he finds out that they're amazing. They can dance. They can sing. They can talk. And he thought, well, this would be great because it'll help kind of keep my mom company. You know, she didn't have a lot of people she interacts with, so she can interact with these birds. So he bought two of them. He had to find out first the price was $2,000 a bird. All right, $2,000. I'll take two. And so they shipped them to his mom, who lived in another state. They shipped the birds to the mom, and he calls a week later, and he says, "Mom, happy birthday, and hey, did you get the birds? How'd you like the birds?" And she says, "They were delicious." He says, "Mom, don't tell me you ate the birds." She says, "Yes, I did. I really enjoyed them, too." She said, "Mom, those birds cost me $2,000 a piece. They can dance, they can sing, they can talk." And she says, "Well, they should have said something." So I still laugh at that joke. Anyway, so this is an opportunity for us to say something to you moms out there about how much we love you. We hope that you feel affirmed today and honored today. We have food out there waiting for your moms. And I noticed, and ladies too, so notice I didn't say men. Apparently the first service didn't get that, all right? So men, this is for the ladies. And we got food, we got flowers. We just want to honor you. We hope you feel honored today. But a few assignments I think are more exhilarating, more exhausting than being a mom. When our kids were younger and my wife would leave, it drove me crazy because all the stuff I had to do, and I could not wait for her to come back home so I could go back to work and get some rest, all right? So you moms wear so many different hats. I think about the hats my wife wears: cook, tailor, hairdresser, maid, doing laundry, personal hygienist, shopper, chauffeur, referee, teacher, spiritual guide, and most important, toxic waste disposer, all right? That's what you moms do, wear many different hats. Reminds me of a bulletin that came out in the church bulletin. It had a gentleman on there that was sick, a young dad was sick. And so this woman, this older church sweet lady, calls the church, "Can I get their number to help them?" And so they give her a number. She calls that home, and a young mom picks up, and the woman, the sweet lady from church, says, "So how's it going?" She says, "It's terrible." She says, "Our kids are a wreck, the house is destroyed, and I got a splitting headache." And this sweet lady from church says, "Hey, don't worry about it, I'm coming right over, I'll cook, I'll clean, you just get some rest." And then she said, before she hung up, she says, "So how's Sam doing?" Sam, the young man, the young father who was sick. And the woman on the line said, the young mom said, "There's no Sam that lives here." And the older lady from church says, "I'm so sorry, I must have called the wrong number." There's this long pause, and the young woman on the other end said, "Are you still coming over?" And some of you not moms know exactly how that feels, right? I mean, and so here's the question I want to ask you as we start off today, because here's the reality. Family is awesome, but family is hard. So how many of you, like, your spiritual, like, one of your spiritual mentors and who helped you spiritually in any kind of way was a mom or dad? Raise your hand if that happened in your family. Your mom or dad kind of helped you spiritually, okay? That's great. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you would say that family is where you saw epic fails in your life? Raise your hand if you saw epic fails in your family's life. And many of us have raised our hand on both of those things. Right? We learned about Jesus, and our family guided us in Jesus, but also families where we learn how grace works, because we witnessed some big fails in grace because family's a mess. And we see examples of this right here in Genesis chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up. We're going to be right in the first book of Genesis 16. And we're going to look at the family that God wants to bless the world through to bring the Messiah to save the world. And God's going to start with an idol-worshiping Mesopotamian man by the name of Abram. And he says, "Abram, I need you to pick up your family because I'm going to have children through you." Now, Abram had no children at this time. So Abram got his whole whole entourage of people, very wealthy man, and they moved to Canaan, and he's there in this strange land for 10 years, and guess what? Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. There's no baby. So watch what happens next, starting in verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. So go and sleep with my servant." You can see this heading south really quick, right? This is like Jerry Springer on steroids, by the way. "Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram, look at this. Read it with me. Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, an Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. That happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became what? Pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to mistreat her mistress, Sarai, with what? Contempt. And then Sarai said to Abram, I don't know if this happens in your family, but "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Wow. Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that what happened? She finally ran away. What a mess. I don't know what's going on in your family, but it's probably not this bad, right? And everybody in the story, I think, bears some responsibility. If I'm passing out grades, I'm giving Sarai a big F. She failed to believe that God's audacious promise to Abram could include her. So she decides, you know what? God needs some help. You ever thought that in your life? God needs some help. And she takes matters in her own hands. Let me tell you, if you are worshiping a God that needs some help, you need to get a new God. So she depends on the flesh to accomplish a promise, and the flesh can get results, but the flesh can never produce a miracle. And so God's looking for a miracle because this salvation plan is going to be built on grace, and it's going to be all God, not flesh. And so isn't it interesting that Sarai works a plan, and guess what happened? The plan works, and the plan makes her more miserable. Have you noticed that in your own life? And then if I'm giving her an F, I'm giving Abram like an F minus. And the reason why is he totally failed in providing spiritual leadership as a husband to his wife and the family. Like many men, Abram chose a path to passivity. He chose to be passive like many men do. And they think this, it's all about doing whatever it takes to keep people from fussing. And so he doesn't see God, he doesn't pray, he doesn't ask God, "God, is this how you want to fulfill the promise?" Instead, he agrees to a course of action that where he's going to callously use a human being for his agenda. He never, ever loved Hagar. Now, sometimes, I want you to be careful here, when we read the Bible, we need to be wise, because what sometimes the Bible describes, listen, is not necessarily what it prescribes. You see all kinds of marriages in the Bible, and any of them that are polygamous never get the blessing of God. They never work out well. But then there's Hagar, and my heart goes out for Hagar because some way she doesn't have a choice. She has to obey her master, but she still bears some responsibility because she did not handle a delicate situation. Even though she didn't choose it, she didn't handle it with wisdom, kindness, and grace. See, when she got pregnant, everybody knew it was Sarai's problem, not Abram's problem. And so she took advantage of that. She saw that as an opportunity to try to upgrade her status by putting Sarai down. And this mess gets worse. Sarai responds by running to Abram and to get permission to mistreat a pregnant woman. And Abram runs away from his duty as a spiritual leader, which would be to call both women to act responsibly. Instead, he permits a mistreatment to a woman who's carrying his child. And Hagar just runs away. She's not running to something. She's just running away. Church, this is the family that the Messiah is going to come from. And it is a mess. And honestly, most families are, at least for a season. That's why today can be bittersweet. Life is hard for many of us because we wish we could call our mom and say happy birthday, but we can't. I mean, happy Mother's Day. Some moms have buried a child and they won't get that call today. Some are wanting to be moms, but that hasn't happened yet. And I think days like today are bittersweet for different reasons, sometimes for choices that we made because of addictions or finances. We never imagined we'd be in a marriage so stale. We never imagined that our spouse would fall out of love with God. We never imagined that we would be a single parent. We never imagined that our children would rebel and walk away from God. And sometimes the fail is our choices, and sometimes the fail is other people's choices that impact our lives. Either way, I don't think I'm talking to too many people today who can't look back at your family and say, man, I wish I had a mulligan on that one. I wish I had a do-over there. I'm working on a big project in my backyard, and my son is working with me, and I'm just be honest, I was unkind to him because I thought he made a mistake, and I found out later on he didn't make a mistake. I did. And so I had to apologize to him. Say, I want a mulligan on that one. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to make mistakes if you're honest, but our fails have never surprised God. They never have confused God. They've never caused God to rethink his purposes for us because our messages don't keep God from accomplishing all that he has promised that he would do through us. See, the good news is God uses people after epic fails. And I don't know about you, but that's great news for me. God uses people after epic fails. His grace is greater than our mistakes and our struggles and even our problems. And that's why the worst chapter in your family story does not have to be the last chapter. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. And the angel said to Hagar, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? And look what she says. She's pretty blunt. I'm running away. I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. And he added these words, I will give you more descendants, read it with me, than you can count. You can run away from people. You can run away from your crazy family situation, but you cannot run away from God. And isn't it interesting that the only person in this story that calls Hagar by her name is God? Sarai doesn't, Abram doesn't, but God does, because God is the one who notices all those who feel like God doesn't see them. God owns the disowned. God wants the unwanted. God names the unnamed. And he says to Hagar, I see you. And I promise you've got a future. You got a future bigger than you could possibly ever imagine. Now go back and trust me. And Hagar responds by doing something that no one else in the Bible does. She gives God another name. Look what it says right here in Scripture. Therefore, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, look at this. You are the God, read it with me, who sees me. That name right there that she gives God is the name Elroy. Everybody say Elroy on the count of three. One, two, three. Elroy means the God who sees me. The God who sees, she also said, have I truly seen the what? The one who sees me. Elroy, the God who sees. And that's what she called him from then on out. The God who sees a person who nobody else sees. God sees. And she wandered off, but she could not escape the notice of grace. You know, one of the ideas of God, he's omniscient. He sees everything. And as a kid, that kind of freaked me out a little bit because I thought God's trying to catch me, you know, when I'm doing something wrong. But that's not what it means. It means to encourage. It means to comfort us. For instance, if you've ever had a child and you brought that child home and you put that child in the crib for the first time, remember that moment? And you and your spouse probably looked over the crib and you just sit there and just stared at them. Like you could not watch your baby. Your just eyes are just, I cannot believe we have a child. I can't believe God did that. We can't, well, we're in trouble now. Like it's just overwhelming seeing this child in your house for the first time. And you cannot not see them. I mean, think about when you go and see your child play sports. Everybody else is watching the ball, but you're watching your girl. You're watching your boy. That's what God does with you. It says that you can't go anywhere, you can't go through anything that escapes the notice of his grace. In fact, it's often when you're right in the middle of the mess that we discover how amazing his grace really is. And I know a lot of moms will amen that. Now, if your family's perfect and every chapter in your family's story is just going so smoothly, you can ignore the rest of the sermon. But for the rest of us, including myself, here's some thoughts that I want you to take home with you this Mother's Day. Is this, grace sees your family, not the ideal perfect, not the ideal family, not the perfect family, your family. It may seem like God is absent, but don't judge his nearness by the messiness of your family's circumstances right now. God is above it all, but he is not aloof to it all. Scripture says right here in Psalm 22, he does not, look at this, he does not, read it with me, ignore those in trouble. He does not ignore those in trouble. He doesn't hide from them, but listen when they call out to him. God notices you. He notices, he cares about your family more than you do. And I just want you to remember, there's just going to be times when it's hard to see God. But listen, don't ever think that means that God doesn't see you. And he doesn't see your family. God has always, always got your family in sight. He never loses sight of us, and grace can get us back on track. That leads to number two thought. God sees your future. Grace sees your future. See, even though Hagar's son was not the son of the promise, God was still going to bless him on purpose. See, God doesn't just bless ideal families, because frankly, there wouldn't be any families to bless, because there are no ideal families. I don't know if you know that. In fact, the families you think are ideal are probably more messed up than your family. That's usually how it works. Now, the challenge for us is not just to believe that God's watching us, but that actually God is watching over us. He's watching over us. That God is saying to Hagar, I see you. And I also see tomorrow, and you don't see it yet, but I see it, and I'm going to bless you. And since I can bless you tomorrow, I need you. I want you to trust me today. But that is so hard, isn't it? Especially when things are going crazy in your family. And there's a Mother's Day verse that we normally don't think of, but I want to give it to you today. Jesus says these words to you parents and you single people, whoever you may be. Here's the secret when it comes to home life. Seek the kingdom of God. Read it with me. Above all else. Let's do that again. Seek the kingdom of God. Say again, above all else. Above education, above sports, above money, above accomplishments. Live righteously. And Jesus says God will give you everything you need. Do you have faith that God has the knowledge of tomorrow so you can have resolve right here, right now, this Mother's Day? Will you trust that God for the chapter you're in, not the chapter you wish you were in, but the chapter you're actually in? Georgine Johnson ran a marathon, and you think to yourself, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is she didn't plan on running a marathon. She had planned on running a 10K, a 6-mile race. That's what she planned on. And the problem was that she showed up at the wrong starting time. And so she's running with all these people, and they get to the 6-mile marker, and everyone else keeps running. There's no finish line. And then it hits her, I am not in a 10K. And guess what happened? She kept running, and she finished the marathon in 4 hours. Wow. They asked her later about it. I love her answer. She said this, "This isn't the race I trained for. This isn't the race I entered, but this is the race I am in." And you moms need to hear that. Some of us are in a race we didn't plan on, but it's the race we got. And your race may be one you never wanted, but grace, listen, grace can give you a race better than you ever could possibly imagine. So keep running and keep trusting the God who can bless tomorrow, because I want you to hear me. Grace sees your faith. It really does. God sees your faith. He really does. Hagar had to display a lot of faith to God. God, you want me to go where? You want me to do what? You want me to go back to the people who mistreat me? She had to believe that God's message was bigger than her mess. So do you. You must never underestimate the capacity of faith that overcomes our fails. There's a verse I love from Paul who's talking to a young man named Timothy who is mentoring. And Timothy is raised in a less than ideal home. His mom is a believer, but his dad's an unbeliever. And here's what Paul says to Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your what? Grandmother Lois and your who? Mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you, Timothy. Now, that wasn't an ideal situation for this boy to be raised in. He didn't have a dad who read scripture over him. He didn't have a dad who prayed over him, but he had a mom. Eunice had made a decision as a mother to Timothy to make a spiritual deposit in her boy. So in the midst of less than ideal circumstances, in the midst of the mess, she decides to prepare him for the Messiah. Two chapters later, Paul says these words to Timothy, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And I know there's many nights that Eunice wondered, is this really making a difference? I mean, is the truth really working in my boy's life? And that's so much what's going on in our families. Like, it doesn't feel like anybody notices what we do, right? I mean, have your kids ever come up to you, Mom, and say, Mom, I just want to say, I just appreciate all the years of you washing my clothes. I know you told me to take out all the stuff out of my pockets, and I never did that. And I know that I always ran in the backyard with my socks on, and you had to clean all. I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. Has a kid ever said that to you? No. And you wonder, does anybody notice? It's hard to be steadily faithful and to believe that God sees. But I want you to hear me. God cares. And he sees, and ultimately, God honors. He honors that. He honored that in Eunice. He's going to honor it in you. This is personal to me. This is really personal. Because I'm here because of faith of women. My grandmother on my mother's side was raised in a very rough home. Her mom died. My grandmother's mom died when she was really young. And it was her and her siblings plus her dad in a less than ideal circumstance. She grew up in L.A. Does anybody know where L.A. is? What stands for L.A.? Lower Alabama. There's some godly people right here. Some people definitely going to heaven. L.A., Lower Alabama. But one day it got really bad. Her dad lost it, and he chased her and her siblings out of the house with a gun. Just went nuts. And all of a sudden, there's shots fired. There was one last shot. My great-grandfather killed himself. My grandmother was taken in and adopted by a Christian family who became my great-grandparents, the Owens, in Montgomery, Alabama. And because my grandmother did not rebel against God, did not turn her back on God, she decided to move forward in faith. And that led her to date a young man who they got married, and he was a pastor. They had children, and then I'm the first of her grandchildren. And she could have made a lot of decisions other than that. Who in the world could blame her? She could have allowed what happened to her to lead her in anger and bitterness and away from God. But I want you to know something. If she had made that decision, I would not be standing here today. I'm here. One big reason, because of her faith. Even when nobody else was watching, she chose that path. And I can't imagine all that my grandmother had been through. I can't imagine all that happened to her. But you know who noticed? You know who knows? God does. God saw. And I like to think that her spiritual portfolio is huge and it's still growing. And every time one of her children and one of her grandchildren, where I'm at, and one of her now great-grandchildren do anything to expand the kingdom of God, that my grandmother's account gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Here's what I want you to hear. God uses the unseen to make a difference. You don't think he sees, but he sees. And he's going to make a difference that will blow your mind if you stay faithful. And if your family's going great, praise God. But if your family's in a really trying place right now, take courage. Keep trusting. Keep running. God sees you. God cares about you and your family. And I promise you this, God will honor your faith. And you know the truth is, family is a wonderful place to discover grace, isn't it? And when grace writes the story, I promise you this, the end is always amazing. Will you stand with me? Let me pray over you this Mother's Day. Father, we come before you, and God, I want to pray for all the families that are here right now, that are listening online. And I want to ask you to be with all the moms this Mother's Day. Fill them with courage, fill them with hope, fill them with faith. Their work is hard and often too little noticed. Bless all of them. Blessings on all those who've lost a mom. Blessings on all those who've buried a child. Blessings on all who want to be a mom someday. Blessings on all the moms who are going through a really difficult family situation. Give them courage. Give them trust. And no matter where they are right now, give us a fresh experience of grace and a renewed conviction that every single small step of faith that we have ever taken was actually noticed by you. So God, I ask again, pour out your grace on every single one of our homes. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. Hey, we're up here. We could be a blessing. Maybe you want to pray about a family situation. Maybe you want to give just praise for something that's going on in your family. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, why don't you come right now as we sing to this great God who deserves all of our glory. Can we give him praise right now, church? Give God praise. Let's worship him together. We're here. Why don't you come?